Please have your seats. Roll call by board members, by organization. Mr. Sheck, secretary.
All right, thank you. I just want to make a note that today is flight day.
That's very true.
14th is all about.
It's Army's 243rd birthday, also.
All right, roll call of our board members. 48, primary Steve Sledger.
Here.
Alderman Patrick Lott.
Here.
American Legion Post 14, David Kelling.
Here.
American Legion Post 176, Michael Gibson.
Here.
Jonathan Fredericks.
Excused.
Amvet Post 6, John Lovejoy.
Here.
Michael Langsdorff.
Excused.
DAV Chapter 4, Board Chair Morris Giesler.
Present.
Frank Hyatt. Korean War Veterans Association 321, Earl Edwards. Jason Atkins. Marine Corps League 826, Ron Brandon. Steve Fudger is here.
Here.
VFW Post 4278, Shannon Roberts.
Here.
Sarah Apke. VFW Post 7024, Board Secretary Bruce Moss here. Alternate Tom E. Wart is excused. VFW Post 12028, Skip Bench.
Here.
Vietnam Veterans Chapter 512, Greg Whitsitt. Nick Herber. Members at large, Board Vice Chair Kelly Jones.
Here.
Kevin Lawson.
Here.
Alan Martinez.
Here.
James Mee.
Here.
David Daly.
Here.
Clarkian Representative Samantha Whitley.
Here.
And I'm going to go into the crowd and have our guests make their names. I do want to make one notation. We have a distinguished visitor guest with us today, and that would be Larry Smith. All others, would you please state your name for the record? Speak up.
Judy Russell, Clark County Veterans Assistance Center.
Sharon Tyre, Clark County Veterans Assistance Center.
Ryan McGillis.
Michael Torres, Clark County.
I'm Michael Harding, VFW 7824.
And that's it.
Okay, Samantha, go ahead. That's 2 minutes first. The next item on the agenda is the minutes from May 10th, 2018. I will entertain a motion to dispense with the reading of those minutes if I have a motion.
I'll make a motion to dispense.
Do I have a second?
Yes.
We have a motion and a second to dispense with these minutes. Any discussion? I noticed that there was a couple things in the minutes that we probably should correct. And I don't even know where mine are at this time. It had to do with the American Legion Post 176, not a VFW post. You catch that, Mike?
No, I didn't.
Okay, all right. Also, the fact that breakfast at the 40 and 8 is at 7 o'clock, or 7:30, excuse me, 7:30 to 9 o'clock. So if you're coming over for breakfast on Friday, and I'm hoping that we all have a chance to get together there for breakfast on Friday mornings, help the 40 and 8, as well as you can see some other fine veterans from Clark County. And we can start talking among ourselves to find out how better we can handle some of the issues that our veterans have at this particular time. You'll have a lot of fun. Dixie goes all the time. Every once in a while, she even will serve your breakfast to you, or she'll pick up your plates. And she does that with me all the time. Once in a while, she even pours coffee for us. But some of our people are called GPs, or prisoner of war. And this all comes out of the First World War aspect. Michael is about to become that type of an individual to serve us some coffee and pick up some plates and this type of thing. So anyhow, I want to make sure that we have that time frame, because if he was coming in at 9:30, breakfast is over at 9 o'clock.
You do have dishes, though.
What's that?
You do have the dishes left to do, though.
Oh, yeah, we do have, yeah, okay, well.
Clean up. I'll teach you.
Oh.
Teaching lesson.
Okay, Steve.
I'll make those corrections.
Just because I'm the chef de gare this year. Okay. The county secretary here will do the corrections on that. Any other discussion? Hearing none at this time. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Contrary sign? Passed. Okay, we got that. Now, it's time for the members at large, the new ones.
Okay, we have two new veterans who have submitted letters of intent to become a member at large to serve on the advisory board through the end of 2018. They're both here today. We have Michael Harding and Brian McGillis in the audience. And so if you choose to accept these members, that requires a vote of the board.
Okay. Yeah, I think that would be appropriate this time. Why do they want to...
So the explanations that I have for Michael Harding is he cares about the issues that veterans are facing on a regular basis, and he wishes to hear about the solutions and provide input on that. And Mr. McGillis said that he would appreciate the opportunity to serve on this board, as he has a strong connection to Clark County for the past 28 years, and he feels called to assist fellow veterans in need. He also serves as the president of the Columbia River Mental Health Foundation, and he's an IT project manager for Franz Bakery. He has many years working with diverse groups, and professional and previous board experience will assist, will be an asset to this board.
Okay.
Mike is also a member of Post 7824 as well.
Okay. Do I have a motion to accept these new members at large?
I make a motion to accept.
Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second. Any discussion?
I think maybe I would like to know a little bit more about just about everybody that is applying to be part of the Veterans Advisory Board in general. I think we're attached to fiscal responsibility, and I think that understanding the role of the Veterans Advisory Board and the assistance fund is crucial. While we all might have an opinion, I don't know if every opinion is going to be relevant. So I'd just like to throw that out there.
Okay. Michael.
Yes.
Could you give us a little of your own thoughts as to why you really want to be a member of this board, besides what Samantha was nice enough to read for you?
Well, as I stated, I care deeply about veteran issues, so much so that I give up my free time and volunteer at the VA hospital here in town. I work in the CLC, well not work, but I volunteer at the CLC, the Community Living Center, and the Recreational Therapy Department, and I also drive around in the golf cart. So I care about all things veterans. I'm a veteran, obviously, a disabled veteran. So the policies that we hear about here has a personal impact with me. I also volunteer at the Red Cross, the American Red Cross. Right now, I'm on the disaster action team, but I'm in training to be I don't remember the term, but you know, as veterans, you know that if something happens at home while you're deployed, the instructions to your family is to call the Red Cross. Well, that's what I'm going to be doing the training for, to be the service to armed forces. So I have a deep passion for all things veteran related, and I would just like to to also be a voice and an ear that that affects all things veterans related in Clark County.
Very good.
Any questions for me?
Have you used the Veterans Assistance Center before?
I have not used the Veterans Assistance Center, but I've been there. I recently found out about it, and so I went there to help bring awareness to the the Keller Williams real estate agent where I have an office at, and we bought a table. We sponsored a table, Keller Williams did, and we had 10 people show up, myself and my wife included. And I would like to work with Judy and Sharon to collect donations from other veterans to take to the assistance center to help our homeless veterans out, because they've been through a lot and we're not here to judge, we're just here to help.
Very good. Thank you for your remarks.
Thank you.
Brian.
Very similar. I'm a disabled veteran, and I think as I say, I care very deeply about my community. I am on the board of the Cumberland Mental Health Foundation, so I think that ties as well into the fiduciary responsibility. I helped guide a $250,000 endowment, which we use to backstop clients of Cumberland Mental Health who can't afford their treatment or who would be slipping through the cracks if it weren't for small assistance. So we provide grant funds through that. I see a lot of parallels, or shared clientele, and I've been on the board there for just about 10 years, and I'm actually looking to exit, and this is something that I feel very passionate about here, serving the veteran community specifically.
Very good. Thank you.
Familiar with the term indigent?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you are?
Yes.
Okay.
Any other questions? Very good. I assume now that we're ready for the vote. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the contrary sign. Hearing none.
There's two spots at the table, yeah.
Yeah, there's one there. Okay. Oh, we got one over there. Yeah.
Have a seat. Thank you.
Okay.
Welcome.
Let me see. There's one.
I think we're just a minute.
It's good thing we just got those new placards.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, you did change the same. Okay. Welcome aboard. Glad to have everyone here. There is a few organizations that don't have a representative here, so we're kind of making up for it with our members of the board. Now then, let me see here. What's on the agenda now? Okay. Says something about Veterans Advisory Board meeting location.
You skipped one.
Oh, I did?
Three.
I'm with
three.
Oh. Thanks, Horace. Wow. That's how you treat a VIP, right?
he's so quiet back there. Larry, if you'd come up here and give us your presentation about CMAQ.
How long are you going to give me, Morris?
I'll give you at least as much as you used to give me. I'm part of that. What was that, 5 minutes?
Sure, why 5 minutes?
But if you've got a message, we want to hear it.
Okay.
Yes.
Sure, so, do. We've got several of them.
Very good, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. And before I start out, I want to thank you for your service. I have made that a habit ever since I've been in city council. 12 years to make sure I always thank veterans, even if they're fellow veterans, for your service. The second part of that is thank you for providing your time to be involved in a committee and a board.
I belong to eight of them. I know how that's a, it's a commitment to your family, your grandkids, and so forth, and to put up with some issues that sometimes are very uncomfortable to put up with, so I appreciate that very much. Most of you know me. I got many members around this table at CMAC. I have 26 years in the service. My combat tours was the rifle platoon leader, 173rd Airborne Brigade, hard to believe, in 1966. I was arrived 6 months after the 173rd deployed. And I was a company commander of Special Forces Montagnard Reconnaissance Team in Vietnam. So, and then I ended up here at the barracks and retired after 26 years. I was not the barracks commander. I'm tired of being asked about that all the time. I was a senior army advisor to the 104th Training Division. At that time, they had colonels that were senior army advisors, and I worked with five general officers in that division. All five general officers had one thing in common. They were all graduates of Oregon State. Came out of the Army ROTC Fellow Commission. It's kind of interesting. It's always had that good connection. But, and then, so I've been involved with the community since I moved here since 1989, all the way up to present. Retired from the city after 26 years in the Army, went to the city and retired from the city at 25 years. Held several different jobs over there. I also found a little bit of time to work 6 years in real estate for 6 years with Coldwell Banker. So I've been around the block, and I know the community fairly well, and I certainly know the individuals in there. So, and I want to talk about an organization, but there's two things I want to talk about first before I talk about CMAC. The community is losing a great individual that tells stories. And if you read the paper, just recently, Tom Voigt, the Columbia, is retiring the end of this month. He's the longest serving newspaper reporter that they've had, 44 years. If you've been in this community, Tom used to write for 20 years all the sports. And he did all the sports outreach. And in the last 20 years, he was assigned to the Metro section and he wrote military. He was not a veteran. His dad was a veteran, Second World War, and his wife, Kathy, dad was a veteran, Second World War. So that's how he got hooked on history and so forth. He has told so many good stories about Korean War veterans, World War II, Vietnam, and he's got it all in his head. He is just a tremendous guy. And unfortunately, when he leaves, this is a sad thing, there is no one to take his place. The Columbia would probably go out for stringers. Some people that are not familiar with the community that come in and write stories every once in a while, but you won't see the volume of stories. He recently just finished a nice piece in the Clark County Veterans Assistance Center there. Did a wonderful job in fact, you talked to him, Dave, as well. Neat guy, but I just want to share that because often we forget these folks that tell the story of people. There's a lot of folks that live in this community, you never know anything about them. Anything about them until you get a newspaper person to come out there and interview them and put them in the paper and then you learn something about them. So I wanted to share that. And then if you looked in the newspaper today, there was a letter to the editor. I don't know if any of you saw Captain Wheeler's letter, but I'm going to read that letter because it's worthwhile. And I'm sure he wrote this letter. He's a smart guy. I know him. Captain Wheeler was, or is, an Apache gunship pilot doing 2 years of recruiting here. He's decorated from Afghanistan. I'm aware of some of his combat missions. He's a class of 2009 from West Point. Was an instructor at Fort Rucker as well before he came here. He says, learn about your Army, and this can apply to any service. On June 14th, 243 years ago, the U.S. Army was born. Those soldiers fought for our nation's freedom, and soldiers served honorably in centuries since. Today, our nation's all-volunteer army is respected worldwide. Soldiers are fully qualified, trained, and educated. As a Vancouver recruiting company commander, I see amazing young people in Clark County interested in continuing this patriotic tradition of service. But about half of today's youth admit they know little about the military and the value of service. They don't know their Army pays for the education, offers housing allowances, health care, retirement, family support, and many other benefits beyond what is usually found in the private sector. If they don't understand the educational and career opportunities available to them, they won't consider service as an option. The Army isn't for everyone. However, youth deserve to make an informed decision about their options. They deserve to understand every path, work, technical education, colleges, universities, and yes, the military, so they can reach their goals. I challenge community leaders, educators, and parents to learn about your Army. Get to know your soldiers and veterans in your community. Be ambassadors of our all-volunteer force. Celebrate the Army's 243rd birthday by helping our youth learn what the Army offers. Kenneth Trey Wheeler, Captain, United States Army. Nice letter. Lots of information in that letter. So I wanted to share that with you. He's a neat guy. He comes to CMAC every once in a while. James, Sam's men, Morris, you've met him as well.
Yes.
Getting him involved in community. Let me talk a little bit about CMAC. And let's see. Oh, okay, in time. It's a patriotic organization. It's not a veterans organization. In fact, our board members, Sam's a board member, we are going to bring in a Vietnamese. Minh Pham is a Vietnamese, came over in 1975 on a boat. Got his education, Oregon State, is an engineer, and has agreed to come and serve on a particular board. So our board is mixed with a variety of different folks, veterans, non-veterans, and so forth, and we try to diversify as much as we possibly can, because it is a patriot organization. It's countywide, it's not just Vancouver, and it provides networking opportunities. Many of you have been there. When you walk in at 40 and 8 and have breakfast and meet the chef de gare, you become automatically a member. There are no dues. We just want your involvement. It's private funding, and we get private funding from about five different organizations. The long-term funding company is Waste Connections. They fund Memorial Day 8 years. Been funding that, and I can tell you the tune of $6,000 to help cover the cost of that, which is not too much. Membership is inclusive, as I mentioned, meets twice monthly as best we possibly can. Not everyone can meet. You can never find the best time. And so we pick it back off 40 and 8 because they're one of our partners. You can have breakfast and you come over then have the meeting at 8:30 to about 10. And everyone says, well, why don't you put these meetings in the evening? Well, then we interfere with family time and all the other activities. And sometimes if it's in the business hours, most of the business folks can get a break and attend. So we find out that that's probably the best time. It's open to vets and non-vets. We have folks come over there for personal reasons as well. When I say personal reasons, it's to promote their business. We don't have any problem with that, as long as they're promoting a business that helps veterans. No paid staff or employees. We all volunteer. And that's unusual for a nonprofit. Most nonprofits have an executive director that probably gets a salary. We don't do that. We have two co-chairs. Jim Erickson, some of you know Jim. Unfortunately, Jim will be leaving us shortly. He's going to Charleston, South Carolina. And in fact, that's where he is today, selling his house at home and here, and then probably taking a trip to Charleston to find a home.
It's going to be a loss.
Yeah, it's going to be a loss, don't I think. He's Air Force, I'm Army. When a guy named, by the way, some of the founders were Dan Tarbell. Morris is the founder of CMAC as well. And when we created the organization, we created co-chairs. We thought that was better so that we could balance all the different things that we do. And a co-chair can speak for the entire organization. Chaplain, James over there. And some of you know Mike Burton, Air Force. He's the operations director.
We do manage a Gold Star Scholarship Fund, $74,000 in there that will be given out and allocated to serving kids of lost soldiers, military personnel in Iraq and Afghanistan. Generally Clark County. If we cannot go Clark County, we may go outside of the county and go to Southwest Washington. So we do have a fund set aside. We partnership with the National Park Service. I'm a member of the Historic Trust as well. 40 and 8's our partner, the Armed Forces Reserve Center, City of Vancouver, Costco, and after I finish talking with Mark Bolt, we'll include Clark County in there as well. Events include community salutes, our community salutes. I don't know anybody knows what that is. That's recognizing high school seniors, generally in Clark County, that are going to go directly into the military. We have a ceremony for them. We invite their parents. We invite them from the high schools. The recruiters bring them in. We set them down. This time it was at Skyview High School. We go back and forth Skyview, and we go to Evergreen School District, probably the Union or Heritage, every year. Superintendents are involved in it and speak. We make them own the event, and they don't mind doing that, to be honest with you. The superintendents have been good about showing up. And then we recognize these high school kids because in many cases they're not recognized at graduation for a variety of different reasons, depends on the principal. So we do that. We give them a coin. Skylar Haas from the governor's office is there and gives them a certificate. And then we line up all the guests. I think Morris, you were lined up as well, and shake their hands. These are good looking kids. When they come across that stage, they are good looking. It really makes you feel good. They're well mannered. And what's kind of neat is when you have all the different services setting out there, because remember, the recruiters are probably working on the same individual. And the individual says, I don't like the Army, I'm going to go to the Marine Corps. So there is a little bit of, I won't call it animosity, but there's some rivalry going on. That back and forth, and you can see that. Probably the most powerful thing we do, and we had a commander from the Navy recruiting battalion, they take the oath of allegiance together. Now, these are kids that will never do that again because they'll go their separate ways. So it's a really emotional bonding event for an hour and a half. We have ice cream afterwards, cake, and some of you have been to that event, and we're going to expand that event. It's kind of tough because they said it's up to the individual to show up because these folks are not in the service at all. But we're one of the very few organizations that do this on the West Coast. I think, surprisingly enough, don't kill me in this, San Francisco does one, one of their school districts down there. So we do that. We do Memorial Day. We do Patriots Day. That's 9-1-1. That's done with partnership with the City of Vancouver Police Department. We do Veteran Day Parade and Observance. We partner with the Trust on that. And that whole Veterans Day deal will probably change this year, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. We do Heroes Night. It's coming up at Costco. Costco out at Camas does a wonderful job. And we've expanded much of some of the, well, not much, but a good percentage. Not only are we reaching out to the military, but we reach out to first responders as well.
Yeah.
And that the Costco event will be recognizing a police officer and a Clark County sheriff. And then some of you may know the lady, Julie Berger. Her husband is Dr. Les Berger, General Berger, who's done so much for the community, American Red Cross. And then we do fishing trips, working with, used to be Walmart, Dion Hess, who used to work for Walmart, he does all the work. We just collect the money and give it to him. We take about 400 first responders fishing.
Wow.
He lines all that up with fishing boats. He's a guide himself, certified guide. Take these folks in. They come in for 3 days. He brings folks in from Louisiana and Texas. He has that relationship since a couple of years ago on the shooting. Kind of a neat event. Some of you have been to that event. He won't guarantee you catch fish, but he'll take you out there and have a good time. And they enjoy that. And then lastly, we're a member of the Lower Columbia Veterans Coalition. In fact, I just came from the meeting. Four organizations come together and will partner with the trust to be located at the O.O. Howard House. Buffalo Soldiers, Combat Riders, Special Forces Group, CMAC. So we'll have a permanent office that we'll share a desk at the O.O. Howard House. Good partnerships. Veterans Day and Parade. One of the things we tried to do and what we'll do differently this time around, as you know, the trust does parade. Historical Trust has done it for 28 years. And they do it at the reserve, and they'll continue to do that because they do have a endowment set aside. And we being CMAC, do Veterans Day observance on Veterans Day. The parade is done the Saturday before Veterans Day, mainly because of the kids, getting the kids out so they can participate on a Saturday morning. We'll do the parade, but we're moving the Veterans Day observance on Veterans Day, which will be at the artillery barracks, and that'll be an open house with all different organizations there. We're looking at a pancake breakfast and all the other activities that go with it. So it's going to be entirely different. Moving out of the Armed Forces Reserve Center, folks have got a little concerned that all we did is talk, and more activity is needed when you get the families involved. So it'll be the artillery barracks partnered with the trust. So that's a change, but and that will be on Veterans Day itself. The parade will still be on Saturday. So that's it about CMAC. Just a couple of things I just want to mention, and I've got some time probably for some questions. I belong to 8 different organizations. When I worked for the city, I belong to 7 others. One of the things that I see that concerns me is the involvement of veterans in their community. Now, you're involved here, but there's other organizations that exist out there that need veterans' input. And I see that when I go out there. When I was in city council, when I had a committee or commission that was open, if that individual was a veteran, 9 times out of 10, I was going to select him or her, because I think that's important what a veteran brings in values. I'm a member of the Commission for Aging for Clark County. I joined that commission because there were no veterans on that commission. And I feel it's important to have veterans and things, the organizations such as that. I'm a member of the Clark County Historical Society and Museum. There are 0 veterans in that organization. So I'm just telling you, that's so important to get veterans involved and committed. And many of you are already committed, but encourage others to get involved, male and female. And it's more important in some cases with the size of the military and the number of females out there, to get more female veterans involved so kids can learn. I do Lunch Buddy at 2 different elementary schools, and I can know, talking to the principals, Riverview is one of them where my grandkids go. If it's not for that principal, and he's not a veteran, of emphasizing the importance of veterans at assemblies, it wouldn't happen. So it's so important to get out there and educate the kids. And I think Captain Wheeler's just hit it right in the nose. You've got 1% serve in the military. And it's something I'm very adamant about because it concerns me when folks don't step up and have an appreciation for what we see. And that's the service of veterans and their contributions to our communities. And it takes an effort because you look around the room and I see several folks that have hair like mine. And I ask most folks, I said, who's going to take your place? When James leaves, there's a chaplain of CMAC and moves on, who's going to take James's place? A Richard Alvarez, who handles the VFW Honor Guard. And those 6 guys in there, they're about his age. And I said, well, who's going to take their place? Who's going to go to the funerals? Who's going to do all that? And that's part of the recruiting that goes in. That we have work to do on that there, of convincing folks. Because you don't have to, in many cases, be a veteran. You can be a patron. Step up and volunteer to make sure that that word gets out. And those values of what veterans bring to the table and their contributions to a community. We are a better community because of 38,000 veterans that live here. You like to live in Portland? Try it. You don't see the commitment that goes with that. Talk to Kurt Loop. General Kurt Loop. Let him tell you about his state of Oregon and their commitment. Now, some of the outlining cities, but when you get to Portland and so forth, their commitment to service and their commitment to veterans and what they bring to a community. And you go to, and you can tell, you can go to any coaching, you can go to a Little League, and I've seen it, and I've been right almost all the time. Go to Little League, and you see T-ball practice, and you can watch how that's being run. If it's run very well, has a lot of organizations, I bet you that man and woman is a veteran that runs that organization, because you can just tell the skills that come out, that reach out to kids. But I've seen enough of it, and I've been usually just right on. So that's my message to you, as I say, the education and so forth, and this why this organization is important, but it's also who comes after us, because we're fighting a 1% battle who served this country. And that's tough, as Captain Wheeler says, of getting the word out there to make sure that we do not lose what veterans bring in their value, because they're value added to a community. Ask any police officer. Ask any firefighter. I mean, they'll tell you that. So need to work in that. I work very hard also, and it's something you need to work, because the newspaper, when they portray veterans, sometimes puts them in a bad light. And that makes it very tough when you're trying to find jobs for veterans, because that employer, if they're not a veteran, in their back of their mind, it says, do I want to hire this individual that may have PTSD? Do I want to take the risk of something happening in my organization? And I know that goes on. I talk to many of them, companies that I encourage to hire veterans. Ask school superintendents. I mean, where they will hire and how they hire and how they look at it and where they take the risk and what not take the risk and it doesn't exist. Okay, I've talked too long. I wanted just to cover a lot of things. When I get a captive audience, it makes me feel good because I feel like I'm back in city council again. No one will get up and leave. But if you have any questions about CMAC and so forth and anything along that line, yeah.
Hey, Larry, I just have two questions. First one is the Veterans Day Parade. I've heard some veterans over the past couple of years say it would be better to put the veterans at the head of the line so that they can go through the parade and get over with instead of being stuck back in the midst of the parade, having to wait for their turn to come up. I've heard motorcycle riders say that, you know, they don't want their bikes idling for so long because they don't work very well. So is there any way that we could try to get our veterans to be more ahead of the line in the parade so that they don't feel like they're stuck back behind?
Yeah, we probably can. The concern of the parade, if you've been to the parade, it's long. 128 units sign up for it. There's no criteria. If anybody wants to be in that parade, they can fill out a form and be in the parade. In fact, there's some one-person shows that are in that parade. And the philosophy of the trust is not to turn anyone away. It is not, it's called a Veterans Day Parade, but in reality, it's a community parade. There's a Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, I mean, you name it, and so forth in there. But that is being looked at as trying to condense the time and making sure that the focus exists on those individuals who wear a uniform or wore a uniform as much as we possibly can. And Jeannie Green Miller, who's the new events coordinator over there at the Trust, we talked about that. In fact, we talked about it this morning. She died, I said we need to get a group of individuals together, sit down and talk about that parade of how we can make that better. But that's a good point. Yeah. I've heard that many times.
And second question I have, and this will dovetail more in our meeting, for these events that we're doing on CBTV, how much is the production cost for those?
What events you
when? Well, when we do Memorial Day, Veterans Day, the community salutes and stuff, when we do those events and have them on CBTV, what are the costs for that, for their production costs?
They don't charge us anything. And that's because they'll dub it. And maybe because I know them to a certain degree, city council can influence that to a certain degree. But they've always, it goes all the way back from the start. It's a community-wide event. They'll quote a community-wide event, and they'll film it for nothing. It doesn't cost us. It costs the city paying for their cost and everything else. Because Memorial Day, they're out there at about 7 o'clock in the morning getting set up. So 7 to about 1,300 they're working, they, you know, and the three of them, they pay for it.
Thanks for asking my question.
Yeah, yep.
I would like to just thank you for hosting the, our community salutes, because I did catch it on TV, and I was very, very moved by it, because I wasn't aware of it, and I just thought it was an excellent way to welcome those young men and women into the brother and sisterhood of being willing and able to serve our country, and I thought it was very, very moving, and a nice tribute to them. Yeah. So thank you.
Yeah, appreciate that. And I'll tell you, you have principals out there that are not supportive of military. That's just the way our society is. Superintendents don't hire pro-military folks, they hire educators. And the educator has their own viewpoints. Principals can call the shots. Vancouver School District's much more centralized. Dr. Webb calls much of the shots of what you will do and not do. Superintendent at Evergreen School District's decentralized. The principals can have a little bit more leeway as far as their assemblies and what they want to put in there. So it's a challenge. That's why I say education, if you haven't read the papers, you know, look at our colleges. Good golly almighty, where's the free speech and having different thoughts and so forth? So, and your kids are exposed to that. Talking to my lunch buddy, I have four of them. I have two Latinos, one Russian, one Romanian. I sit down at the tables. These are fifth graders, and I am surprised how much they know what is going on in their community and the concerns they have.
Yeah, and recently I worked for the Vancouver School District, and I was at Geyser Middle School, and the former principal there, he insisted that we have a Veterans Day assembly, and you know, Richard Alvarez and his group would come there and present the colors, and it was just a fantastic thing. And for the career fair, they would have a career day where different people from the community would come in and speak about different jobs, like optometrists and, you know, bankers and lawyers and things like that. And Dan Tilkin from Channel 6 News, he always shows up, but they would always ask me to present a general overview for the military, and that would be one of the most requested class, not because of me, but because of the interest in the military. And I tell them, if you don't have a purpose or a direction, the military is the only way to go, because you'll find it there.
Yeah. And as I said, all you have to do is watch the news and look at the newspaper and what people gather, because people don't read in detail, they read snapshots. Cell phones go to the news and so forth. And what do you hear about the military? Ships that collide at sea, incompetent commanders, airplanes that crash in training, no maintenance that keep it. That's what they're reading about. So if you're a parent and you're thinking about this, my God, PTSD? I mean, every time there's a shooting, I hold my breath that that's not a veteran, because that's the first thing that goes in the press. Oh, this is a veteran. He was in the Army and served over in Afghanistan. And that's what people see. And so when I see good stuff, that's what's important. That's why I said Tom Voigt wrote about good stuff, wrote about veterans and how they cared about their community and their involvement and so forth. But the press, when they get a hold of that, oh my golly. And lately, you know, some of the things that you, accidents, National Guard plane down in Puerto Rico, I think Charleston crashed, getting ready to go to the mothballs plane. I mean, those are all just sort of negative things, but, you know, I see that because when I'm out with groups, I talk to groups and they said, well, what's military, what bothers you about the military? Okay. Any other?
I just want to close or kind of finish up that I don't. When CMAC takes on a project, they take every detail into consideration. If you ever go to a meeting, the representatives at that table, right down to the parking, and I want to say you reached out to a community you had not reached out before. My Lions got the word that their offices could have good parking, some of them are disabled, and they just rave about CMAC. My gosh, they parked me, they helped me. We are reaching out to the community, but it takes a lot of people and a lot of work to put them on. Yeah. And you guys are doing a great job.
It's like, and as many, and Patrick does our sound for and does a great job on our sound, and as many of you are involved, it's a community effort. But the thing you got to watch about organizations, whether they're nonprofit and they're military, is what I call, and all of you know this, is mission creep.
Yeah.
try to give you more to do, and you don't do as well as you should on your core values. We were created as a vet organization to respect and honor veterans in the military. And, you know, you, I mean, there's more stuff that comes out, and we try to protect that. Some of you probably get a little upset that we don't end up sponsoring you, because it puts us, as I say, we're not a due organization. We are a donor organization from Waste Connections. So it really, we got to be very careful that money comes to us. Do we pass it through us and then pass it to another organization? So we're kind of sensitive about that. But Mission Creep will end up destroying you if you're not very careful, because you got to find out whether you still have the capability and you still have all the old farts there that are doing the work to get it done. And I mean that in jest as well.
It's a hard job.
Because there's some younger folks like Dave over here that are coming in right behind us that are going to take over and do some of these jobs. Okay. I appreciate very much anything. Thank you. Thank you, Morris. I don't know how Morris does it. Chef DeGar now, 40 and 8. How many times over?
And Grant.
And Grant.
And Grant.
And just one report on Dave, Dan Tarbell.
Yes.
Dan is a founding member of CMAC. Many of you know Dan. Dan is all over the place. And it just tells you, take care of yourself.
Yep.
Watch drinking and smoking.
Yep.
Triple bypass. Visited him 3 or 4 times at the hospital. He's in a coma for 5 days. And when I talked to him last week, he's home now. He was saying his prayers, and I think Jerry Keene was there saying prayers for him because he was going to die.
He's in Manna now. He's in Manna.
No. Yeah, he's out now.
He's home Monday.
He's doing fine. I just talked to him about a couple hours ago, and he says, I'm going to watch what I do and how I manage my time and so forth and where I put my efforts and so forth. But I just want to pass that on to you. He's a great guy, does a lot for the for the community, and just really works his tail off for the guy. Okay, thanks, guys. Thanks for your work. Thanks for the time, too.
Thank you, Larry.
Flag Day today starts at 5 o'clock. 142nd Fighter Wing's Honor Guard will be there. The 142nd was deployed. Was not. They've got about 200 folks deployed. They were not scheduled to get back to next week. Guess what? They're in town today. Brought them back early. So there's 200 Oregon Air Guardsmen that are back from, I don't know whether they're in Afghanistan or in Europe, one of the other places. So good to go.
Okay, Larry. Thank you, Tommy, for the notes.
I'll see you for breakfast.
See you for breakfast morning. And the motivation that we have here now.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tommy.
Thank you. Thank you again.
See you, guys. Board meeting location.
I think we should meet.
What's that?
Say, I think we should meet.
We should meet. Okay. I agree, we should meet. Now, where do we want to meet? It has been proposed that we could meet back at 40 and 8 as we used to years ago. 40 and 8 kind of asked us not to meet there at that particular time. But that's a change in the, I should say, leadership at 40 and 8 at this particular time. I will say this, that it would cost us from the fund about $100 a month for a couple of hours meeting. If we have coffee with it, and I need coffee from time to time, it'd be another $20. So what are we talking about? We're talking about $1,200, well, actually, depends on whether we're going to meet in the summertime. We haven't talked about that here yet. But $1,200 for a year, and then add the $20 a month onto that. So Sam has already talked with the finance people, and they figure that we can make that move.
They said we could, that with the fund could pay for that, but he asked me to look for places that didn't cost anything if we wanted to have that discussion.
Okay, now then, have we had the opportunity to look at those places that don't cost anything?
One thing that only just came up this morning because I overheard my coworker talking is Clean Streets has expanded their footprint and now has a space available. And I said, well, we have like 30 or 40 people. And he said, yeah, I can handle that. And I said, what's the parking like? And he said, oh, they have parking, but
oh,
I haven't
no,
checked
no,
it
no,
out
no,
myself.
No, no,
no. I don't know.
They don't have parking. They do not have
and that room would okay. need a thorough clean before any of us
okay,
can
I have
sit
never
down
been
around
there.
A table and touch anything.
Well, parking is primarily the issue that we have here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the facility is very nice, I think. They always set it up for us and everything like that. But the parking, not so good. Matter of fact, I found one space when I came here about almost 1 o'clock. Just one space.
So is it why we're not looking at meeting here anymore?
Pardon me?
Why are we not wanting to meet here anymore? Is it the parking?
It is the parking. It is the parking. I've had several places to talk about it. And the fact that we don't have the TV anymore. So why do we need to be in here? I think the TV, I've had so many people call me up and say, why aren't you on TV anymore? So, as Larry said, it costs money to have that TV. They don't have to pay for it themselves. However, the city does kick in some. The county does kick in some because it's our TV system. They chose to drop us, and no one's really talked to me about that aspect other than Bruce. Bruce has talked about it. We brought it up here a couple of times. I wish we were still on TV.
So, were you going to talk to somebody about reapproaching that and see if they would change their mind?
Yeah, so I was waiting for direction from the board because at the time that we last discussed it, they said hold off, and I haven't pursued it since I wasn't given clear direction.
James?
I know you and I have discussed this, but I want to also let the rest of the board know my opinion. I didn't know that the TV station has cut us off. The last I knew, we were still on TV. And as I stated to you, I've had many veterans come up to me and say, oh, I saw you on TV, because they're watching it.
They are.
And if we go to the 40 at 8, they won't be watching it. They won't get the information. So we're here to reach out to the community, and so I would suggest stay here and get the TV back on again and negotiate with the county. Do they want to continue paying for it, or do they want us to put in a little bit of money? I don't know. I haven't heard anybody else say they're having a hard time getting a parking space. I don't have a problem, but I'm disabled, so I just park in the front door.
Yeah, I don't have one of those little placards.
But I'd like to hear from other people. But my concern is it's not getting us out into the community.
Not.
And the veterans that we're watching it won't see it anymore, and then we become a non-entity to them.
And I would hope that each one of you would take this information that we develop here back to your organizations and use it to let them know that Clark County Veterans Advisory Board is trying to do the things that they want us to do. And we do help our veterans through our contract that we have and President Pullman. The Assistance Center has that contract. We've had other agencies over the course of time that's had that contract. So, and it's, it helps a lot of veterans. As you are going to see here very shortly, the number of people that go through, and if it wasn't for our funding here, we probably wouldn't have the assistance center.
I'd like to add something else too, Morris.
Yes.
We're a 501c3 here or a C19?
Neither.
Neither. Oh, okay.
Because the RCW requires the council at this moment to develop this board.
Okay.
And it's very, very clear as to the organizations that are on this board.
Now, I know that I'm past commander and chaplain for the, and on the board for the Korean War veterans. We have given money to the VA for certain, like, bus tickets.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, well, maybe each of our organizations could give the county some money to help defray the cost for TV. Because I would put towards KWVA. Let's give some money.
Okay.
How much money do
you
need?
I just wanted to add one thing.
I just asked Laurie about this. But if the county and the city of Vancouver doesn't give money to CBTV to cover an event, then CBTV comes back and has to have some sort of recovery fee included in part of their overall budget when they do these productions. So CMAC has to provide CBTV with a reciprocal recovery fee for them. They said $50,000, they said the last meeting with the Telecom Commission, in order to cover those outside costs that are not covered by the city or the county. And I think I've just about said enough about CBTV at this point.
Okay, all right. Well, this is one of the things that's popped up here in the last couple of months. Been 2 months?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I guess we need to make a decision as to whether we, I don't even know whether we can take any of the money from the fund. Mm-hmm. Can we use the money from the fund?
We can do that, but what the feedback that I got on that was, if we start paying for the CBTV coverage ourselves, then the council will never pick it up.
Didn't we propose paying for half of it?
I don't remember that.
So is that, can we ask them if they'll split it with us?
Yeah,
I realize,
if that's the decision, I'd be happy to push that forward.
We may never get a freebie, but start somewhere.
I guess maybe I look at it from the standpoint that the legislation thinks it's important enough, and our local legislation should think it's important enough also. That's kind of where I'm at as far as us having television. That's one reason why I really thought about coming up here, because we had the television in both of these rooms at that particular time. Even though we didn't do an awful lot at the outset, but we have over the course of time. We finally got people to tune it in and find out what's going on with the veterans program. And I don't know whether we can go out and get sponsors. That's a possibility. I don't know whether there's any sponsors out there that would do that. But give it a shot. What do you think?
I thought your suggestion was very good about asking to pay half. The longer that we wait with veterans wanting to see what's going on here, we've been off the air now, 3 months? We spent all that time
getting them to watch,
yeah. And now they're not able to. So the longer we're off, it's not a good thing. We're here for them. We set up the website, we got all that going.
So then we would probably need to go back and ask for parking permits, as we did at the outset when we first came here.
Well, then I'll use that as our negotiation point. We'll pay for the production, but they'll give us the number of permits we need, and maybe guarantee some sort of parking, because that, that does appear to be the biggest issue here.
Yep.
How many people have a problem with parking?
We did.
Depends on what time you get here.
Yeah.
I mean, there hasn't been any parking out in that back lot for the last 3 days, so I've had to go to meter points down the street and over here. And it's just, it's a hit or miss. There's very few spaces available in the parking garage. There's a ton of reserve spaces open when you go in there.
Yeah.
But just other parking, they're usually full.
I always had a problem finding a parking spot, but I discovered just outside the, on the other side of Mill Plain is a neighborhood, and they have 2-hour parking there. So if we can keep our meetings limited to just under 2 hours, anybody can park there. This looked like there was plenty of street parking, and it was, looks like completely open. So it's not that, it only took me, I think, 4 or 5 minutes to walk over here. So I'm parked just on the other side of Mill Plain in the first street there, off of Franklin, the cross street, first one.
Okay.
Are those coin operated meters?
No, there's a sign that says 2-hour parking between 8 and 6 p.m.
I guess the other thing about the TV is what demographic is watching that? Before I found out about this board, I never knew it was on TV. So I guess part of my concern is that's great that whatever demographic is watching it on TV, but you know, like Larry said, if we don't, you know, I'll just talk about my experience going into an American Legion and why I don't go back, because it wasn't a welcoming environment for anything new or any new energy or anything. It was status quo, shut your mouth, show up, get us some new members, but don't try to do anything fun or engaging or whatever. So that's why I don't participate anymore. This generation is not flocking to those organizations because of that reason. And I know that just working with 600-700 of them over there at Clark College, they don't feel the need because they're not doing things that they're interested in. We got a big hike coming up on June 30th, Irreverent Warrior, Sasilke's hike. Boom, you got like 130 9/11 veterans signed up for that right away. That's 130 people that are more than likely not members of these veteran service organizations. But they also don't know that we exist. They also don't know that the Veterans Assistance Center exists unless we tell them. So what is the avenue to get the information into the community about what we do, when the meetings are, come to the meetings, or you know, whatever. Where do we, you know, put this stuff, post it so that it can be read, so that they can see what's going on? The TV's great, but I would venture to say that those who are watching the TV are a lot older. And that's okay, because that's how they receive their information. That's not how the generation that we're trying to target now receives their information. So in my opinion, we have to do a better job reaching that group. Those are the ones that are, you know, they're the next ones up. They're starting to flood the assistance center. They're starting to go into the community asking for resources that they just can't get at the VA or otherwise.
Patrick? I can say that if something like this was live streamed, say on Facebook or something, would that be more appropriate for that group of demographics?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would say
that's an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
Very easy thing to do.
Well, that was actually one of the questions that came to mind for me, is if we are going to go back down the route with the TV, since they're already capturing it, how difficult is it for them to go ahead and move it over digitally for us? So we can link it to
technology.
But within a half hour, when this meeting is finished, within a half hour it's posted.
Yeah. So why couldn't they just go ahead and post it? You know, if we do that, make sure that they have access to link it onto the VRC page or the VACC page, so that it's automatically uploaded. It's there. So I mean, if they're going to make us pay for doing this, we should make sure that we get the things that
are.
Yeah, because like Kelly says, and I'll second, because those 600 veterans that I oversee, they don't look at the TV much. Actually, I don't think TV's been on 2 months. It's what's on their little smartphone and their iPad. So if we're using the technology, if we embrace the technology to get the message out there, I think we'll have a better impact. So maybe that's whoever's having this conversation with them, ask them, okay, you're recording it, give us a digital copy, let's get it onto our page and make that happen. I mean, we're talking about $5,000, I think is the number we've been talking about.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're talking about $5,000 here or $1,200 down the street. You know, we're established here, and I yeah, parking's terrible, and maybe we can try and sort that out at the same time. But if they have the resources we can use to get our message out there and do it faster, I'm more apt to want to do that. You know, I don't want the generation that I'm working for right now to be the problems that we have to start servicing. And the way we do that is we get the information out to them.
True. You know,
so.
True.
See, sorry, go ahead.
Mike?
We saw that problem about 2 or 3 years ago, and Keith Scott has been in the process of setting it up on Facebook so that the different groups can put their information on it. But it's going slow because we're getting old, and we need someone who's young to run the Facebook page. But it's there. We've got a Facebook page, and we've offered it down the road. I don't know what Keith's telephone number is, but Keith Scott would be a perfect person to get tied into, because we got it on Facebook with the purpose of having each of the units being able to say information. And we spent about $1,500 getting everything set up.
Okay.
So it's there. It's just getting someone to manage it on the day.
So we need to get in touch with Keith.
Huh?
I said we need to get in touch with Keith.
Judy has his telephone number. I don't have it.
Okay.
I'll text the two.
Okay, if you could get in touch with Keith and have him give me a call, because he's got my number.
I do.
But it's getting someone to manage it, because man at the end, I think, is the guy who said, no, we couldn't use this organization.
Right.
We thought it would be the perfect way to get it done.
Well, we can work through that, I think.
Okay.
So what else? Go ahead, Kevin.
Is there a rights issue, a digital rights issue, because we're under county? Is there a rights?
So what I was going to say, I'm not sure about the digital rights, but I know that CBTV right now, we could grab any link from any meeting from any month, and we can put it anywhere we want. They have the links and the video online.
Okay.
I do run CMAC's Facebook page. But I try to internally in our department get a CDBG page on Facebook, and our director said no. So I'm guessing she would say the same for me for this advisory board. But I could ask her, or I guess one of the members. We have the county. The reason our director said no is because we have a county PIO. They're in charge of what message is going out and on behalf of the county. They don't want people just willy-nilly posting stuff and saying this is what Clark County is doing, because they want it to be through their format and through their style, and I don't know how that would I can certainly research it further.
Can we engage with the PIO see if we can task somebody from their office to assist with this thing? I mean, if they want to
come up with
them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of possibilities I'm hearing.
And according to what Jim Denman told me, they kind of take their keys from the public information officer for both the county and the city. That paves their way for what they want to do for programming in the future.
Okay. So we got some aspects that we need to find out about. And next month we'll be bringing these ideas back. I hope that we can, in the meantime, and I think most people got my number, give me a call. I'd be more than happy to go talk to anybody if we can get this thing set up. Because I've had a lot of people who are not veterans even ask, why aren't you still televising your board? Because I think they want to find out just what's going on with a lot of the tax money that is being put into our funds here.
Mr. Chair, do you want to call for a short recess? Because we've got people who may have to fill out meters and stuff.
Oh, that's a good idea. You probably need to do that, because we are at 10 out of 3.
Yeah, I think we've kind of gone over a little bit.
Okay, we have a little bit. But I think the presentation was well worth it today. And we've got a few other things that we need to take care of besides this. So what I'm hearing everyone say is that we're going to stay right here pestering the council and see whether or not we can get some money from them to support us.
Is that okay? You want to check into the parking permits as well?
we can see whether we can come up with some parking permits. Now, the last time I checked on that, they didn't even want to give me one. But I got one. Thanks to Sam.
And I hadn't started back in 2015.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Okay, so if you want to take a little break, take about 10 minutes at the most, and let's get back and finish up where we're at today. Mike, welcome.
I'm not really worried.
You're an alternate, Brad.
You are an alternate.
Yeah. For you, Judge. Yeah.
Can you could you amend the minutes to mark them, change of them, excuse to Brad?
We have our own page. That was a topic.
So we're not a board that runs the center. The center's our own nonprofit. It'd be like posting something to the dental veterans
right,
development
program
webpage.
This one
but
of our
we could post
vehicles.
It to the county webpage.
Yeah,
but
maybe the county webpage.
So I can't see how
I mean,
I'm tying
the,
that together.
I clicked on the Clark County Veterans Advisory Board and website, and I see that you posted the audio. It's like, oh, I didn't know that. So you posted the audio right there. I said, oh, good. I have to check into that because I missed last month's meeting. I was out of town. So
there
okay.
you go.
All right.
So yeah, same thing. With
Judy?
The center also has a Facebook page, a Twitter, Instagram,
right.
everything, and we also have a good website now. We would love to have that link on our Facebook, to our Facebook, on our website, everywhere.
Great.
We'd love to have the link to these meetings.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great vehicle for you guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you
the
know,
more information we can get out there to the veterans, the more platforms. And like Kelly said, our young vets don't watch TV in the middle of the night. Most of them don't watch TV at all. They're on their phones all the time. So that would be
if they are, it's Netflix, Hulu, and they don't pay for cable.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
Okay, so we'll get that. We'll make that a minute for our next meeting, and so we'll have to. Okay, we're down to that particular aspect now. I think we've argued this meeting location, and we want to stay here. Is that everyone's?
Until we find out what's going on.
Okay, so at least we find out who and where and what and all that. Okay, so we're going to be here for another month at least, maybe two, maybe a season. That brings us to the reports, appeals. Mike?
Last month we had four appeals. Three of them were denied and one of them was approved. One approved was for a storage cost. And the others disapproved, rent, and assistance, rent and internet. And these were people that had already received rent within a 24-month period.
Okay, very good. Anything else, Mike, you want to bring up at this particular time with your policies or your appeals?
No.
Okay, very good. Dixie, how about the policies and procedures?
Policies and procedures are ready to go to the council on June 19th at 10 a.m. in this room, and they're all ready to go and be approved. And
okay.
Several of us will be there. Alan, I think, said he's going to be there. I'm going to try. Samantha will be there.
And I'll be here probably also.
10 a.m.
Okay. All right, so now then we're going to Samantha's contractor report and the fund report.
Thank you.
Which is outstanding.
In April, the Assistance Center served 61 veterans through the Assistance Fund and for a total of $19,669. And I can give you a copy of this report if you want, just to make it easier. Nine households were assisted with rent for $4,600. 10 households received utility assistance for $3,200. 41 households received food assistance for over $7,000. Five veterans received transportation assistance that came to $300. Two households of veterans who passed were received help with burial costs, total over $1,700. Two veterans were helped with work-related costs of $849. Two veterans were helped with auto repair, was approximately $1,700. We helped one with prescription assistance for $6 and one with other housing assistance for $75.
Okay, very good. The average for the month per veteran, $322.46. I usually figure these things out and have it available because, and then that totaled up that there was 51 singles. There was 8 that actually had more than one single, and 3 had 2. So we've got a pretty good process going on here with our categories. Sometimes I wonder about some of these categories as to whether or not we should expand on them or leave them like they are. Food is one of the things that's taken over. Rent used to be the thing that we had to worry about, but now rent's not, it's second to food. Utilities, sometimes in the wintertime, they were at the top of that list also. Transportation really has never been an issue, and neither has the burial aspect. But work-related, it's been pretty sparse here recently, and that's good. Auto repair, we've had more expensive auto repair, but not as many. And same thing with the prescriptions, we used to have a bunch of those prescriptions, but it seems like the VA is handling a lot of the prescriptions now. The other aspect is something new that we hadn't had prior years, but I can go back and run these things. Okay.
There were 9 denials in April, and this will change a little bit when the new policies go into effect, because you see how many people that are over income filed appeals, and that's no longer going to be an appealable topic because of the change to the policies that's in the county code, so there's no sense in appealing it. The assistance center overall saw 648 visits to the center in April, and that included 304 homeless veteran visits, so that's almost half of the people they serve. They had a total of 1,007 volunteer hours in April, and that equates to over $24,000 in volunteer value. And they provided their graph to kind of get a feel for how the service looks over throughout the year. The dental program saw 5 veterans in April, and that was included 6 visits, because one veteran had 2 appointments. There were 10 extractions performed, 1 filling and 4 x-rays, and 1 bilateral lingual tori removal. And that care was provided by 2 volunteer dentists and 1 contracted dentist. So on the following page, you can see that the value of care provided was over $4,600, and they billed us $1,822. And finally, we received our April tax apportionment. We had $316,000 in total revenue deposited into the Veterans Fund in April, bringing our current net fund balance to $691,303. My finance person is very worried about this, and we can talk some more under new business.
Might as well spring it on.
So he came to me, and this was after the agenda went out, so I'm sorry it's an item that wasn't included on the agenda, but he said, what ideas do you have? Because when we get to September and we have this large fund balance, the council is going to stop providing us this general fund support line. That's the third line from the top. And they'll probably even cut back the property tax revenue that's deposited. And we talked about it internally. I had also just gone up to the ACHS meeting that I briefed you guys on a little bit last month with the WDBA talking about getting a county service officer. and Clark County is one of the counties in the state that is underutilizing veteran benefits. And so I explored that a little bit and did some research. I talked to the WDVA. Our department director said we would not be hiring any county employees to provide this service, but she was open to the idea if this board wanted to contract the WDVA to find a service organization that would be a full-time paid service officer just for Clark County. And that would cost the fund $60,000 a year, and that includes 10% administration that would go to the WDVA, and then they would do all of the contracting, they would do the RFP for the service officer, they would provide all the training and accreditation, they would track all of the, and report to us all of the outcomes from that service officer, and then they would also provide appeals representation. So I told him to stand by, and I would let him know if that was something that we were interested in doing for Clark County.
Mr. Chair, just to clarify for everybody here on the board, the VFW service office does get some funding from WDVA, but it's directed by their Wharton office up in Fife. So
hey, can we clarify what that acronym stands for?
Washington Department of Veterans Affairs.
So there is a little bit of DVA funding that does come this way for service officer support, and the VFW has had it, and also when the Legion had it very, very long ago, but it would have to be reset again because, like Samantha said, our service officer for Clark County is way down, so I just want to put that out for clarification.
Well, let's work on spending money.
Yeah.
Really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Between now and September.
True.
Well, my question is, why hasn't WDVA been engaged anyway in providing a service officer for the fourth largest county in the state of Washington? Between four and five in any given 3-year period when they do the numbers.
So, what are ideas to spend money, though?
I mean, I can tell you that the two VFW VSOs over at the VA are taxed. I mean,
yes,
they're busy. It's very hard to get in there. It's frustrating for some. So we need to have some more outlets and avenues for these folks to get to a VSO.
Sam, what's going to be the surplus? Where's the amount under which items should I look at?
Well, what we have in the fund right now is $691,000. I can't really predict what the surplus will be come September, but the assistance center is spending roughly $30,000 to $40,000 a month, and then the county is, what is our operating expenses so far this year? $8,000 plus my time is $6,000, finance time is $1,000, and contracts is $700. So I can ask Ryan if you want me to project out to September based on the averages of the previous months so far. Yeah,
that would help us.
It would help us, and then we have to start coming up with some solutions now. So once we know, we can drop the hammer. You know, pretty much once we know the numbers. So is that we're gonna have to come up with something offline to come up with some sort of solutions to spend money other than this board?
Yeah, and I'd say it's going to be a little bit tricky because we're presenting all these policies that we want to change next week, and so we don't want to try to then change the policies again. So either if it's through more outreach or through a new service, I don't know. I don't necessarily want to go back the following week and say, well, we want to change some more policies real quick. Like,
I hear that.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Right.
That'd be a new service.
Correct.
You wouldn't have to go back and do that.
Yes.
And I really, having been over there myself recently, and it is a disaster to try to get in there, I really think if we could do something in that avenue, that it would be a good service for everybody that goes there. And that's all veterans, not just one demographic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Judy?
Well, right now we have two service officers at the center. Our hours total 2 full days a week. We could use a full-time service officer at the center. So, you know, if we contract with the WDVA, I agree with Kelly. I wonder why they haven't already down here because, well, remember, we only have 8 homeless veterans that need help. So. But I agree with you. It's it would behoove all of us to have a full-time service officer, and we certainly have an office for them at the center. You know, if one of the service organizations wanted to put a full-time service officer at the center, we have an extra office that they could use.
And so. This is actually the first time we've ever heard them volunteer those services to get a service officer down here.
You're right. Setting up the contract
and everything else.
So are we then responsible for finding the officer they're willing to train under, or is
they
this
will also find the person, so find the agency.
They will certify that individual.
So is this coming through Alfie's organ?
Yes,
it is.
Might as well sign deal with the devil and jump off the roof.
Well, so from my perspective, it's way overdue for them to engage with Clark County because of everything.
You're 100% correct.
Southwest Washington, we have to get away from that. And we have to start holding them to task. We're Washington veterans, not Oregon veterans. So WDBA needs to engage. So I say we force them to engage.
Yeah, then we need to get Alfie down here and ask her to solve some of the problems she's been doing.
She's
the biggest roadblock for them being active in this area, and you know that.
I will invite her down.
Get her ass down here. I'd love to have a conversation.
We should invite her down and have her come and speak to this board about why they don't engage with us down here.
Yeah, because she's a boxer rocks.
And Judy, who are the service officers currently out of the center?
Ron Abbey and myself.
Okay.
Is this something we can vote on today?
Ron works for the BBA. I work for the American Legion.
Let's try and see whether or not we can get Alfie to come down here, address our board, and I think we need to go ahead and see if we can't come up with what they're proposing to us, because we've certainly had that need for years. Is that not right, Mike?
Yep.
Okay. Well, the problem is some of our more experienced VSOs are tired, and they don't have basically the capacity to do that anymore. And they're begging for other people to be trained and younger ones to be trained, because the things that are coming up now are sometimes very different than what Vietnam veteran generations or Korean War veterans. Right. You know, I mean, there's a lot of different nuances and a lot of things that are being passed, and it's tough for them to keep up on that. So it's time to bring somebody in who can sit there and do that day in and day out. It's long overdue for our county, I really do believe.
And two of my open up the pipeline to have a direct conversation to the people at the WDBA.
Exactly. That's true.
Get somebody down here.
That's why you work at a college.
I'm educated.
But I think that's what we need to do. We've had a good discussion.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I make a motion that we take the WDBA up on their offer to provide us with a service officer in Southwest Washington.
I second.
Third.
One discussion, though, I'd like to know if we are able to have a vetting process with it through the WDBA, because some of the people that might come up in that process.
So I worked with Stephen Gill.
The VSOs,
but you know who's going to try and jump on that train. You and I both know.
No.
I do.
he walks through this door, I'll throw his ass out the window.
Well,
it wouldn't hurt to ask.
You're working with who?
Stephen Gill said that they would accept proposals from service offices, agencies in our county, and I could be part of the selection committee along with their staff. Or if there's somebody, a member of this board that feels strongly that they need to be part, or if the assistance center is going to be hosting and they want to be part of the selection, I'm sure I could negotiate that as part of our $60,000.
Absolutely.
We got it.
There you go.
Okay. All right. Any other discussion?
Is this too much work for you?
Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Contrary? Sign. Passed. we got to get back with them and
yes.
take it up on their offer.
Okay.
Okay, that's good. We're moving forward. Yes. All right,
is
now
there
then.
Be enough money to spend between now and September?
I don't think so. No.
So what else can we do while we're talking about spending money?
CCTV.
Put me on the payroll.
Yes.
I like to spend money.
Yeah, you got a point, Steve. You know, we yeah. could go ahead. That's $5,000.
Well, that's
some
our half.
Well, let's see what we can come up with. We may use some of that money for that TV, if we need something else on the social media, maybe we'll utilize it for that.
Has any of the money come out of this for the stand down this year? Yet
I have not. I have not had a
that
invoice yet.
That's a pretty good chunk.
Yeah. What
normally.
What are you planning for this year, Judy?
September 15th. We have $8,000 from the fund in our stand down budget. Mm-hmm. We use that throughout the year for our storage of the DOD stuff that comes in early.
Okay.
So.
All right. So that
we can always use more money than the stand down.
Oh.
Always. We're always short.
You're always
well,
short.
Because we're gonna have the shower outreach project there, the SOP, so let your
yes.
your folks
right.
know, your indigents and
okay.
others who don't have access to a hot shower.
Hot
they
shower.
Will be there. She oftentimes, you know, needs towels and hygiene items and all of that kind of stuff. So underwear, I mean, simple things like that. She keeps a wish list on Amazon. So, but, you know, if we you know, if you get that word out to maybe we could purchase some of that to offset
right. Right.
some of her costs for her, you know, continuous running of the SOP. So
you should come down to the center so we can talk about it.
You're still doing it at the VA campus?
Well,
yes.
When's the next stand
okay.
meeting?
It's the last Wednesday of the
month. Because I haven't seen anything
right.
from Nick in a while. So.
He forgets.
Okay. Oh, let's see. What do we got next?
We're also going to have veterinary services. In.
Oh, it says here that Judy is supposed to come give us an update.
I will indeed.
Okay.
So our part-time service officer is no longer at the center. His name was Bear. He's left for health reasons. We have one full-time service officer right now. We've been interviewing for the part-time position. We do have a 25-hour per week intern that is also learning how to do the fund. She's very good, but she just recently lost her mother, so she had to fly back east, and she just got back today. So she will be helping out our full-time service officer until we hire someone, which will be next week, because we do have a couple of good candidates.
Very good.
The gala, we...
This just popped into my mind, and I'm sorry to totally derail the conversation, but do you want to make a position a full-time position? Would there be enough work for that? Or we had talked before about maybe having a staff person, your staff person, go out in battleground one day a week, go out on campus one day a week. Is that...
one of the things I was going to bring up.
Oh, sorry.
Is that, it's okay. In August, usually is when we present the new budget. So if you don't want me to wait till then, I certainly could do it prior. One of the things I'm going to be asking for is another part-time service officer to go out and do outreach in the community. One day a week be in Battleground. One day a week maybe be at Clean Streets. One day be somewhere else.
I think if we could do that right now, that would certainly help with our spending question.
Absolutely we can. Absolutely. And I also will be requesting an increase for my service officers because they make very little money. So I'll be presenting that as well. So I can certainly bring that to the next meeting.
Okay.
We have talked to Clean Street about having someone there. We've talked to other agencies about having someone in their office one day a week. They love the idea. They love it.
Sorry for interrupting you.
So no, that's okay. That's okay. So yeah, that's definitely something I can bring to next meeting. So
if you can get it put together a little beforehand, I would like to be able to go over that if you could get it to me.
Of course, of course. I'll get it put together as soon as I get back on Tuesday.
Okay,
and,
very good.
And we can go over it. You
okay,
and I,
all right.
Before we bring it
and
to
if need be, I can pop into your office.
That'd be great. I'll call you in these things.
Okay.
So the gala, we made $16,000 on the gala.
Awesome.
It's not what we wanted to make. It's certainly not what we expected to make. But even though we had a lot of really good packages this year, our auctioneer lost his mind.
Oh.
Sorry. He was like totally out of his element this year for some reason. And we didn't have a lot of bidding on our packages, even though they were really good packages. So, but we did make $16,000. That's certainly something. We do have our car show is coming up on August 25th. Sharon has our flyers for the car show. We will have a booth at the Clark County Fair from August 2nd until the 13th. We'll be out there selling t-shirts, selling tickets to our rifle auction, trying to raise money, doing, you know, selling things at the fair. This month, the fund has been extremely busy. We already have seen as many people this month, in half a month, as we did all of last month. And we've already written 9 rent checks this month in 14 days. So that's a good thing. And the stand down, of course, will be September 15th on the VA campus. And the last thing is, I wanted to read you all an email that we got from one of the clients.
Okay.
It says, just wanted to thank the Veterans Assistance Fund for all the help. The gas voucher, the food assistance, the auto repair help, and the utility help saved my butt. I have a family of 7, 5 girls, and we are so thankful for your help. I served in the U.S. Air Force, a combat veteran from 2006 to 2014. I was deployed 3 times to Iraq and have PTSD. Thank you for giving me some support when I thought the world was coming to an end. Thank you for the support as I transition into civilian world. From all of my family, thank you so much. Please pass this up the chain. When I get on my feet fully, I promise to donate back and help the next family out. God bless.
Very good.
That's why we do what we do.
That's true.
So. Thank you.
Oh. I'm sorry about that. Okay. With they. You got a party to go to or something?
They have to rearrange the room for the hearing tonight.
For the hearing tonight. Oh, my goodness, yes. All right. So we got to hurry.
Just so you know, I'm involved in the planning for the Dragon Boat fundraiser next year.
Okay,
so
perfect.
We'll be there Saturday.
Meeting with them next Saturday.
Yep.
Okay, let me see. What else have we got here? Judy did a good job on that. Unfinished business. I don't have any.
None.
Okay. New business. Yes. Oh, Mike.
This is something that maybe those of us at this table are not too concerned about, but I've been concerned about it. It's homelessness. There's an article that was in the New York Times. I've given a copy of it to Peggy Sheehan at the City of Vancouver, to Penny at the Columbian, and to Mark Holt. But I thought it might be interesting because it's talking to a large extent about solving the problems for homelessness for veterans. It's in the New York Times. I can give it to you and you could maybe pass it around or whatever you want, but I think it's a great idea. And they've reached 0 for homelessness for veterans in 27 different communities in the United States since they started this program.
I'll get this out to the whole board.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You good? Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Scan and email it.
Okay, good. Good. All right. Anything else that we need from new business? Appreciate that, Mike. Okay, the one thing I wanted to bring up today is the fact that how many of you have got your new Medicare card that's got their an ID number on it rather than the Social Security?
You already got a card?
No, have you?
Yeah.
No, it's starting to come in.
Yeah, it's starting to come in now.
I think this month.
I was wondering if anyone had theirs. Okay. That's good. Okay, now then, let's see. What else do we have here? I think we're down to the open forum. 30 seconds.
Everybody has the flyer for the Pinups on Tour. It's going to be June 30th. It's Saturday at the Seven Creek American Legion. You do have to go online to register, or you can check in and when you come in and register. Veterans are free, but they still want you to register on their website. And then all others, it's $20 per ticket on the website, $25 at the door.
Notice the age. Don't bring your young children. It's a very good show, though. It's awesome. We did two of those last year, and they were very well attended. And some who came to the first show repeated at the second show for obvious reasons. So.
Okay. All right. Anything else?
Irreverent Warriors, Silky Sight, June 30th, same day. We're starting about 08 at the Fort Vancouver. This is being Irreverent Warriors are the ones that are hosting it. But the two guys that are basically spearheading it are trying to disassociate from them and start our own hike here in Clark County. This is suicide prevention. It's not awareness, it's to prevent suicide. It's to get people out, get them connected with somebody. It's a 10-mile hike. We'll start at the barracks, wind around, go downtown. There's numerous businesses that are veteran-owned and not veteran-owned who are agreeing to participate with food and beverage and different things, and there'll be stops along the way. The after party will be at the Bearded Brothers Brewery with raffles and some other stuff. So I'm going to go down and put $100 down at Bearded Brothers so that we can cover some tabs so that people can just go and have something free so that they don't have to pay for beverages or food or whatever. So I would encourage everybody to hike if you can. If you can't, then get engaged and volunteer, because this is the only way you're going to get in touch with a younger generation of veterans. These are the things that they're doing.
We're setting up a booth at the registration for the center.
So one young man who's involved with this, AJ Vigil, he runs something called, or his business called Headstrong Fitness. I am currently in his boot camp in week number 2. I'm boxing my rear end off. You can see me and my moves online. He has cards for free 10 drop-ins. The boot camps are at 5, they're at 6, they're at 9. I think he has one at 11, and he has some in the afternoon, and he's going to start some in the evening. So encourage people, younger people, if you know, get a card, go work out.
Anything else?
So I won't be here at the July meeting, but I will work with you ahead of time, and Michael will be here to help with anything that you guys need.
Okay.
The Wenatchee WDBA conference that John and I went to last year is going to be again in Wenatchee August 1st and 2nd. So look at your calendars and see if there's anybody here from the board that would like to go up and do that, serving those who serve. It's specific to county veterans programs. So.
Yeah.
It was really a good program they had on, so if somebody can go this year, I encourage you to go. I'd love to go again, but somebody else should go.
Okay. I'll go.
Okay. Oh. That was easy. Well, if there's anybody else, too, we have some extra funds. So.
Okay.
I'd be interested if you get more information.
Get more information?
Okay.
I'll send it out.
Send it out to them. So I've got the dates.
Sounds lovely.
Okay.
Yes.
It's that time of the day. Do I have a motion?
Move to adjourn.
Do I have a second?
Second. Third.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 We are adjourned.
Thank you.